Hey everyone, welcome to the Sports in the Mitten podcast powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, FanRag Sports Michigan and Michigan State beat writer. And today we have a lot of questions. I'm going to talk about the quarterback race. I'm going to talk about the, not so much a race anymore. I think we've determined who the starter is. Talk about linebackers a little bit. Field some of your guys' questions from Twitter. It's going to be a good show. Plenty to talk about. I'll have some more this weekend, too. We'll get players at some point tomorrow. So watch out this weekend, whether you're watching on the live stream here on my YouTube channel, or if you're listening on FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel, or if you're listening on iTunes. And while I'm at it, might as well plug the Facebook page. Search Sports in the Mitten on Facebook. Follow the podcast on Twitter, at MittenSportsMI. And follow me on Twitter, at AdamBiggers81, and FanRag Sports, at FanRag underscore you, at FanRag Sports. So now that we're done taking care of business, I do want to talk about a couple things. I wrote a piece on Tyree Kittle. That's up on FanRagSports.com. And basically what it comes down to is Tyree has really shown a lot of vocal leadership, not only the way that he's playing, but vocal. And that's important. Communication is key. And I think if you have a guy like that on any team, you look back at all these successful teams, what is a key factor? And it is I follow you, buddy, Justin Green. I appreciate it, Justin. Thanks for joining. I think a key element to any team is always communication, no matter what position it is, especially when it's a secondary, especially when it's a young secondary, which looks like it's going to be Tyree and Brandon at safety, Brandon Watson, and then we'll likely see David Long and LaVert Hill at the corners. Before I get into Mike Sandusky, who else do you expect to see linebacker with Hudson Bush and McCray? I'll get into that a little bit later in the show. I did ask Devin just about overall athleticism. I think right now it's Devin, Kalik, Mike. Those are three guys that we know for sure. I mean, I expect to see Josh Uche in there. Maybe Jordan Anthony and Drew Singleton later in the year, depending on how well they get acclimated to special teams. So right now I want to go, like I said, I want to mention that article that I wrote on Tyree. So check that out on FanRag Sports, just about his vocal leadership. But I think that he explained a lot of things well, especially with the communication between he and Josh Metellus. That's going to be a big deal. So Josh also in there at safety. So if it's not Brandon, Josh is in there as an option too. So trying to think what else here. Last night there was so much kind of to absorb from last night. We had a chance to talk with John O'Korn and Wilton Spate. And judging by body language alone, I would say that Wilton knows that he's a starting quarterback. And I have those interviews on my YouTube page, so go ahead and check those out. I'd say judging body language alone, Wilton knows that he's the guy, he's comfortable. But at the same time, I think that, and my column's kind of going along these lines, at the same time, I think you have to give John O'Korn a lot of credit for the way that he's handled everything. Last night, he really opened up to us as far as, you know, some of the ups and downs in his collegiate football career, and without giving away the entire premise of the column, you know, those are just some of it. So a couple of those ones were duplicates. I'll take questions in a few minutes, guys, if you don't mind. I want to try to get it to where I answer the ones offline and then the ones off YouTube as well, but sometimes it depends what we're talking about. Sometimes the question fits. So I guess just keep them coming. If I don't get to it, I'm not ignoring it. I'm just saving it for later. So until I answer it, just keep making it pop up. So one of the things last night I thought was interesting from John O'Korn, and this it kind of shed some light on the quarterback situation as a whole. He was talking about guys who were competing for the job. He said that he and Wilton were competing their butts off. He also said that Brandon Peters, there was a fourth guy that he mentioned, and that was Dylan McCaffrey. So by process of elimination and going by what John says, I would say the Michigan's quarterback depth chart right now is as follows. Wilton Spate, John O'Korn, Brandon Peters, then Dylan McCaffrey. And I think that's a good sign if you're Dylan McCaffrey. I know a lot of people think that Dylan's going to do great things at Michigan. And I'm kind of covering that as a coverall. I got a lot of questions last night about Dylan McCaffrey a couple questions about Shane Morris and Alex Malzone too, which was a really good question. Why it's been so long since an in-state quarterback has had success at Michigan? That's a column idea, so got to go back and credit, go through my mentions and credit you for that. But That is an interesting topic, and that's something I think a lot of people talk about, that you want to see like the homegrown talents do well at the in-state school, right? Especially if you're a fan. If you're a Michigan State fan, or if you're a Michigan fan, you want to see those hometown talents, you know, do well. Or regardless, let's say if you're just from that town. I mean, every guy from Flint, you know, I have a little bit of Flint bias, I'll admit it. You know, as a fan, I want to see all these guys from Flint do well. I don't care where they play, what they do. I just want to see them do well because it's something that adds to, you know, our city's athletic history, our area's athletic history, Genesee County as a whole. So when you think of it like that. But like I said, Dylan McCaffrey, number four quarterback, I don't think that's a huge surprise. Although I was told last year that during fall practices, Alex Melzone actually did outperform Brandon Peters for a stretch. And that's not to say that Alex Melzone was a better quarterback. It's just saying that Alex Melzone, who had some experience, outperformed a true freshman during fall, which I don't think is, you know, too uncommon. But right now, like I said, Wilton Spate, John O'Korn, Dylan McCaffrey, Dylan. All right, I'm going to get to these questions here. Going through my mentions again, guys, feel free to ask questions. I just wanted to see if I could knock out a couple of these ones first. And a lot of them are kind of comments and relating on all kind of like the same topic. Like I said, I got a lot of stuff about McCaffrey last night. Another interesting comment, and that John O'Korn made. Like I said, John talked about a lot last night. It wasn't just about him. He talked to, you know, we asked about him primarily, but he talked about a lot of other guys too. And he said that Kron Higdon has, and I quote, a burst like nobody's ever seen. So I think if you want to know about Michigan running backs, I mean, it's still Chris Evans is the lead guy. John did say that Ty Isaac was in the best shape that he's seen him in at Michigan. And I think that bodes well too for Michigan, especially for you know, having another power guy. I'm looking at Kareem is going to be that power speed burst guy. Ty Isaac's kind of got a little bit of everything. He's got the size. He's got a little bit of quickness. And when he's gone, he's gone. Mark, I'm sorry. That one popped up real quick and then it went away. See, submit it one more time. I'll get it. I think it was something about speed with the running back group, if I saw that correctly. Go ahead and pop that one back up. Someone mentioned about Kron Higdon. This is Pug Life. He doesn't think Higdon gets enough press. Mark Reed, will we get Gilmore spread with all the speed, size, and talent? I don't know if I would call it spread. Mark, I've got this question before. I think it is going to be faster. And I think just by virtue of who you have at the position, I don't necessarily think they're going to change. The offense isn't going to look completely different than it did last year. I mean, Jim Harbaugh still the head coach, Tim Drevno, still offensive coordinator. I don't think it's going to look too different. But I do think with Pep Hamilton, they're going to bring out the speed. So, I mean, I could see that. And with speed, you like to get it in space to make plays. So, I mean, in space and spread. But I don't think it's going to be a spread offense, if that makes any sense. I do think that there's going to be spread elements, but I still think this is going to be very much be a pro-style offense. You have to remember, Wilton Spate's still the quarterback. And, you know, he operated well last year with what Drevno and Jed Fish and Jim Harbaugh asked him to do. So I don't think they're going to deviate from that too much. But I can't help but wonder if it is going to be a little bit spreadier in that sense. And, Mark, that's an excellent question. Jalen Taylor, quick hitting passes to mix it up. I think Pep will make the offense a lot of fun to watch. Jalen, I agree, too. And, I mean, let's not forget, I mean, we're going to see guys like probably Eddie McDoom and Oliver Martin. Nate Shonley, I think those guys are going to be the slot guys, probably in that order. I think, you know, with Donovan and Tariq, Donovan is the fastest guy on the team as of the spring combine, and he ran a 4.41 40. So, I mean, when you have that type of speed, he's elusive. I mean, and again, with Eddie McDoom, you can use Eddie in several different ways. Eddie's also quick. So, I don't have access to the playbook. I'm not going to pretend I'm going to be able to draw X's and O's, but, I mean, If we watch, you know, last year, watch some replays. I've watched plenty of film on Spade. I've watched plenty of film. I mean, it was Darbo and Chesson, but I imagine that Michigan will ask its wide receivers to do this, you know, similar things. I mean, that's what's required with the position. So I do think we're going to see deep ball threat. I do think maybe it gets a little... I do think that Wilton is going to have the potential to throw for pretty close to 3,000 yards, if not eclipse that, just because. And yeah, with Pep Hamilton, it's not too different. And I asked Wilton this question last night, but the way that he described as far as what Pep... and he said it wasn't different again, but to me it did sound different. The way that he described it, Pep said something along the lines, if you see a lot, you see nothing. Basically, so if you're seeing the entire field as a whole, you're not seeing anything. You're looking too broad. Sean Holtz, what's going to happen with Grant Perry? Any field time this season? Grant Perry's been cleared to play, Sean, and that actually came as somewhat of a surprise to me. Grant's cleared to play. Grant will be in that wide receiver mix as well. Mike Sabrowski, do you feel we have more hitters? Something defense? More hitters on defense? According to these guys, yeah. Do you feel we have more hitters on D this year than we've had past few years? Well, Mike, without going sight unseen, it's hard to say, but judging by the comments that we're getting from all these guys, Cleek Hudson, violent. Chris Partridge said that. Chris Evans was talking about Jordan Anthony and Drew Singleton, how he felt sorry for guys that they hit in high school. They can really lay the wood. That's a term that's been used with Jamarick Woods. Josh Ross, Little Biggs, James Ross, little brother. This guy, by all accounts, I'm talking to everybody, saying Josh Ross is knocking the hell out of people. And last night, we had a story. Who said that? I'm trying to remember who said it. Basically, it was either an offensive lineman. I think it was Chris Evans that said it. It was an offensive lineman, or it was Khalid Hill. And Josh Ross hit one of those guys, and the exact term that was used was he buckled. Meaning the guy that Josh hit buckled. So if it takes a lot to bring down Khalid Hill, we all know that. So if he made Khalid buckle, that's pretty impressive, I think. And depending on where Khalid was, I mean, I don't know. It's most likely a right guard or right tackle. I don't know if it was Mason that he made buckle, but one of those guys, Juwan. I mean, if he made Juwan Bushel-Beattie buckle, that's impressive. Juwan's a big guy. Mike Onwenu, mountain of a man. Ryan Glasgow said last year. So if you look at the level of competition, and Josh Ross, just a true freshman going in there and really making his presence felt in a literal sense, yeah, I do think. And Devin Bush is a hitter too. I mean, let's not forget Devin. The list goes. I mean, the gist of it is that these faster and physical. And I know that we hear these terms all the time, and a lot of teams are using this. So we're gonna be faster and be more physical. And yeah, it sounds like a generic term, but if you really look at it and break down what each guy can do comparatively speaking, I asked Devin if the linebackers as a whole, if the athleticism was any different. And he didn't say that the athleticism so much was any different. It was just, he said that they moved differently. So, I mean, I guess we could decipher that in a couple different ways. He said that they just moved differently. Kennedy Cameron, do you think the secondary will hold us back this year? And Braden Houston, how big of a gap do you think there is between O'Korn and Spate? I think it's a sizable gap. I don't think it's ever been a competition, Braden. Honestly, it's always been Wilton. I'm sorry, Jalen, I missed that one. And then the question about secondary holding Michigan back. If you want to look at it in that light, if there is a position group that is going to hold Michigan back, I would say that it is a secondary only because it's young. And I would also say the offensive line because it's young. Three all Big Ten starters gone from that. We all know who's gone from the secondary. Jordan Lewis, DeMonte, Channing, Delano Hill. Braden Hudson, who would be your pick? I'm sorry, Braden, that one just disappeared. So, but again, I talked about this in the last podcast. I know it's easy to say, okay, young guys, not a lot of experience, that's going to be a liability. But let's not forget, it's still the same coaches, still the same system, still going to be the same results. And Tyree Kinnell basically reiterated that when I asked him the question about the losses. He said, look, and I'm not directly quoting him here. He said something along the lines like, look, those guys got drafted. They're all NFL caliber guys. They're not trying to be better or, they just want to play hard. And I think he said the right thing. I think in the back of their mind, I mean, they know, like, look at the bar that has just been set. And if you want to play hard and get results, well, I think you have to be as good or better than those guys. So I do think the Michigan secondary probably has, as a position group, it's got a lot to prove. I'll say that. And with the offensive line, I've been covering Michigan for 6 years, since 2012 when I started with Bleacher Report, and that was kind of just part-time basis. I remember 2012, 2013, offensive line was an issue. 2014, offensive line was an issue. 15, we saw a little bit of improvement. 16, I feel like it stayed level. It wasn't a liability. Mark Zabrowski, who is the freshman of the year on our team other than obvious people, Jones and Black? Ooh, freshman of the year. I mean, Aubrey Solomon, he comes to mind. I think that Aubrey would be a good candidate off the top of my head. That's a good question because I don't know if I expect last year, right, 23 true freshmen saw the field. Jim Harbaugh has already said, basically confirmed, that we're going to see double digits this year. Last year, I feel like we had more to choose from, and guys were making plays than for freshman of the year. This year, I feel like it's going to be more difficult, I guess more subjective. Are we looking freshman of the year on defense, freshman of the year on offense? I mean, as a whole, I don't expect there to be a freshman on this year's team other than DPJ and Tariq that are really going to just command a ton of headlines. I still think, I mean, look at this 2016 class. The 16 class, I believe, is major. Major. It's Harbaugh's first class, all his own. And that's another thing that I want to add. A lot of people are talking in, 2015, well, how good is he going to be with Hope guys? And he won 10 games with Hope guys. And then 16, he still got Hope guys. And those are still his best players. And then this year, well, look at all the losses. Well, yeah, he lost a bunch of Hope guys, right? So, I mean, if you're looking at it in that lens, then now he's got all his guys just about ready, in all these key positions. I mean, obviously Wilton being a Hope guy, but I throw Wilton Spate in as a Jim Harbaugh guy now because I think Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, that has done more for Wilton Spate's career than anything that happened during the Brady Hoke era. And while I'm on that subject, Brady Hoke did want to burn his red shirt. I spoke with Wilton about that, I believe it was like a couple years ago at Media Day. And Brady Hoke, they did want to burn his red shirt. With so many new receivers this year, who do you see getting a red shirt? That's a good question. And that one actually, I'll go up to Alex Brickers. I don't mean to skip a lot of questions, guys, but a lot of them are kind of along the same lines, and it's stuff that we're going to talk about anyway, so I'll probably be able to mention them. And I just saw another question pop up. One second. Alex wanted to know, he said, I'm seeing people call for the redshirt of Collins and Martin. How likely do you think that is? And then he adds, my personal take, get these guys playing now with all the talent coming in. Turnovers crucial, like it or not. At the wide receiver position, initially I thought that Oliver Martin would be a candidate for a redshirt, but by everything that we've heard, he's played well. And Michigan doesn't have a ton, Mo Ways, Kakoa Crawford. Nate Johnson's back, but Nate hasn't really done anything yet. They're going to rely on DPJ and Tariq. I do tend to agree with Alex a little bit. A guy like Nico, a guy like Oliver, I don't necessarily know how difficult, and especially a guy like Nico. I mean, he's got NFL build. I mean, is playing a year, really going to hurt him? I mean, he's probably going to be gone in three anyway, I would imagine. I think he's got that type of ceiling, honestly, to skip his senior year. So, and Nico just started practicing. And so long answer to a short question, which I'm good at doing that. I'm trying to get better. Red shirt for Collins and Martin. I'll go the easy way out and I'll say one of them, a 50-50 shot for one of them. But honestly, I don't know if either one gets red shirted. Now, in terms of redshirt running back-wise, to go true freshman, I think Omari Samuels and Kurt Taylor, I think those guys will get redshirted. John O'Korn was talking about that, they're great athletes, but they're learning the playbook, and it'll take some time for them. Jamie Turner, with a ton of athletes, who starts as punt and kick returner? That's a good question, and we've tried. I don't know, in terms of start, but, I think that we're going to see Chris Evans back there. I wouldn't doubt to see Eddie McDoom back there. But again, it also depends on how much they want to put on Chris, because I think he's going to be the lead back. I think Chris has the potential for a 1,000-yard season, And I wrote about that earlier this week on FanRag Sports, so check that out. Why Chris Evans could be Michigan's first 1,000-yard running back since 2011, and that was Fitz Toussaint. So it depends what they want, how much they want to put on him. Eddie McDoom, I can see being a guy. Maybe DPJ, Kennedy Cameron says. And that's another one. I mean, he's got hands and speed, right? I mean, those are two traits that you want in a punt returner. At the same time, I mean, I'm wondering, I mean, Kalik Hudson is very athletic. Kalik, when he came in, there was some brief chatter, and he had mentioned it, that they wanted to maybe make him a running back. And I don't know how serious those talks were, but he did play some running back in high school. So, Mike Zabrowski, Sack King on the D-line. That's a good question. Well, I mean, obvious answer, it's going to be Mo or Rashawn, right? One of those guys. Do him in an open field, scary, says Jason Hughes. I agree. And we've seen, and not even so much open. Eddie doesn't really need much room. Eddie needs a crease. Jalen Taylor, how many chocolate chip cookies, sacks, will our D-line linebackers get from Mrs. Harbaugh? That's actually Greg. That's Greg Madison's wife, who passed out the cookies. And I remember talking with Chris Wormley last year about it. It was in the, I think, and I want to say that I saw them being passed out in the locker room in the Orange Bowl, because we're not in the allowed in the locker room. It was either during the Orange Bowl or the Citrus Bowl, because we can go in the locker rooms then. But yeah, the cookies are from Greg Madison's wife. Caleb Vance, if we can get Chris Evans in the return game, we'd have Christian McCaffrey-type player on our squad. Running back, star running back, star kick returner. Yeah, and I mean, Christian did it all at Stanford, didn't he? So, and that, I guess that's my question, is how much are they going to want to put on Chris? And with him being a sophomore this year, is that something that maybe comes as a junior and a senior? Or is it something that they're going to do now? I do believe that we'll see Chris return a kick and punt. I mean, that's... He did last year, so that's just kind of the process of elimination there. Alex, as far as the redshirt wide receiver question, I hope I covered it. And again, guys, if you're watching live or if you're listening, you know, obviously it's not live if you're listening on Blog Talk or iTunes, but if you ever have questions, you want to talk about Michigan football, tweet me at AdamBiggers81. I try to get back to all of them, and I try to give you guys the best answer I can. If it's something that, you know, like a redshirt thing, or if it's rumor stuff that I can't confirm, I'm not going to BS you and pretend that I know it. If I don't know it, I don't know it, and I'll let you know. But most things I feel like I have a pretty good handle on. Most things I feel like I do know. So as long as you stick to those, then I'm a happy camper. You guys are happy. I'm scrolling through these mentions, guys. I know Dave Campbell, what is the deal with Micah Parsons? I hear he has interest, kind of weird. We'll talk about that later in the week, Dave. Later in the week. Transfer stuff, recruiting stuff. I mean, I know there's a little bit of buzz as far as Michigan and Jean Delance. I think that's how he says. It's not Jean Delance. I think it's Jean Delance. Jean Delance. How's my French? If anybody speaks French out there, let me know how that sounded. I'm trying to go through the mentions here, like I said, because I know there were a few other good questions in. Oh, here's one. Robert at 35, Robert 16. Who on offense could be an All-American? Mason Cole, Wilton Spate. Justin Green, mine's amazing. I'm proud. LOL. Oh, Justin, I worked with a girl named Erin when I went back when I worked at BD's Mongolian Barbecue back in my early 20s, and she spoke French. And then I had a friend named Frank. He was from Haiti, and they speak French. Frank taught me some French that I'm not going to repeat on here, but Erin actually taught me legitimate French, so I can say a couple things. Like, she taught me how to say this, Salut jolie, je m'appelle Adam, which is like, hello pretty girl, my name is Adam. And I think that's the only thing I remember that she taught me. She taught me some other words, but it didn't sound as smooth as Salut jolie, je m'appelle Adam. Oh, I meant my question, Justin. Oh, I'm sorry. Jalen Taylor, is there a specific situation we use Higdon versus using Evans? Example, third and short, red zone. Jalen, I can see that if third and short burst, red zone burst, that could be Caron Higdon if we're going based on what John O'Korn says, has a burst like nobody's seen. But at the same time, Chris Evans has proven more than capable. I mean, he averaged 7 yards per carry last year. I've watched his Hawaii highlight, just the Hawaii game, just Chris Evans, several times, and I know it's against Hawaii, but you have to look at the way that he played in his first college game, the way that he saw the field. I have to believe that Chris Evans is a guy that's not going to have a problem finding any holes. Jalen Taylor, yep, love Evans. MIC Brooke, how are you doing? I'm sorry I just missed that. I saw your name up there and like a happy face emoji, and I did not see your question. So let me see if you pop it up again. Other questions. Oh, real quick while I'm on the topic, I want to give a shout out to Larry Prout. Larry, if you're watching, how you doing? John O'Korn really talked a lot about his relationship with Larry Prout. And all you guys out there know, if you follow Michigan football, you know who Larry is. Hopefully he'll be in camp soon. By all accounts, he's, tough summer, very tough summer. He's at like 99 surgeries, I think. He's up there. But John O'Korn said Larry was the toughest kid he's ever met. So, and I second that. I've met Larry. We took a selfie together on the sideline of the Orange Bowl, and Larry was wearing his, he just got new casts, amazing blue casts, and he had a bunch of guys sign him and stuff, so he's got Sharpie autographs on his cast, and he's got his Orange Bowl shirt on, and it's just, it was a great thing. He had a lot of fun, and, obviously his parents, too, got to speak with them a little bit, but hopefully we see Larry at a couple games, and hopefully he's on the sidelines doing his part for his teammates. Here is another question. This was from Pug Life. How is he feeling health-wise? Did he add any weight this summer? Is he more comfortable with the offense? His thoughts on the OL. Pug Life, okay, that's in regards to Kron. I don't know. We haven't talked to Kron yet. Jason Hughes, Spade is a starter without a doubt, but what kind of leash do you think, long or short? It's Wilton Spade's team. I mean, Wilton's going to have to just tank. MIC Brooke, how much of Eddie McDoom will we see in the pass game this year? I think he'll be in there. Slot guy. Jeremy Turner, in your opinion, which is the toughest away game? Penn State. Any more questions, guys? We're going on 28 minutes here, which is about half of what we... I think they've been running about 40, 45 minutes. I feel like when I started, I thought that there were more questions, but there are more kind of comments and replies. Oh, this one, Justin Green. Justin, I can't forget your questions. Justin at Hail Hail Mish 16 asks, how do you think the development of the linebackers will affect defense in the long run? Jay Harbaugh, how will he do? Cameron Clark, cool start at wide receiver. Cameron, I'll get to that right after I answer Justin's question. let's see. The development of the linebackers affect the defense. Well, I mean, the linebackers, and I mentioned this before, I remember talking to Eric Magnuson, and I remember talking to Matt Godin over the summer. Sat down with those guys at Mr. Spot, stuffed our face, talked football. Both of them said that the linebacker group in their position was the deepest. Mike McCray, I remember, was asked about that. I asked Mike about it. A few other people have asked him similar questions too. And, you know, everybody wants to know, that's kind of the talk. Yeah, they're deep. As far as, I think they're going to probably make up for some mistakes. I mean, put it this way, with the pass rush accompanied with those linebackers, I think it's going to take a little bit of stress off the secondary. I think it's, I think their idea is probably going to be, let's get in there a little bit quicker so that way our defensive backs don't have to wait so long to react. That way their wide receivers don't have, X, Y, and Z amount of time to do this and that. So as far as the development of the linebackers, it can only help. Jay Harbaugh, how will he do? Chris Evans has raved about Jay Harbaugh. MIC Brooke, Mo Ways or Kakoa? One more time, MIC. And to answer it, Cameron, I think it was your question starting wide receivers, I think. It's going to be DPJ. I'm just going to go with the top four. I think it's going to be DPJ, Tariq, Kakoa, and Moways. Bass, I've heard. Oh, Bass, that one just disappeared, man. That was a good one. It was a long question. Let me see it. Bass 7769, already a show favorite. Always asking questions. Bass, Justin. I don't see Casey Brown in here today. Casey always asks a lot of questions. Al Cunando, MIC Brooke. Braden Hudson, do you see any of the wide receivers being a true number one? Yes, DPJ or Tariq. Oh, shoot. Mo Ways or Kakoa, who's a better blocker? Ooh, that's a good question, MIC. I've asked that question, well, not who's better, but 2015 about Mo Ways being a blocker. That video is actually on YouTube. Just search it. Adam Biggers, Jim Harbaugh, Kakoa Crawford. Jeremy Turner, Mo Hurst mentioned that OL was the most improved position. Do you think, true statement?
Well, I mean, Mo's killing him. So maybe he feels bad for him. I don't know. But Mo and Rashawn, the defensive line has had some success against the offensive line. That's not a secret.
When can you get to talk to guys you want to talk to? Cameron Clark,
if I want to request a guy for a feature, Michigan's usually pretty good about that. But right now, like the post-practice, especially the preseason, we kind of just get who we get. So we might get an idea. Last night, I remember I got an email saying, okay, it was going to be quarterbacks and linebackers. So they didn't specify, I mean, but I was thinking, okay, it's going to be Wilton, it's going to be John O'Korn, it's going to be Devin Bush, and probably Noah Furbush, because we haven't talked to Noah yet. So, and that's who it was.
Sorry, guys, I missed a couple of those questions there. Base, I heard the DBs are struggling with this wide receiver group. Is that good or bad?
Well, Base, I think it depends who you talk to, because I know, and I'll say this, I know for a fact that Keith Washington has been kicking ass in practice. Last week, I got an update on him. And the only guy who had really had any success against him was Grant Perry. And Grant Perry's going to be in that wide receiver group, too.
Will Ben Mason see any action this year?
Limited. Probably special teams, I think. But Khalid and Henry Poggi, those are the guys at fullback.
Cameron Clark, who do you work for? I want to read your stuff. Oh, okay. Well, great.
Perfect timing, Cameron, for a FanRagSports.com plug. FanRag Sports is what we're called, FanRag U. It's our college sports department. On Twitter, @FanRag_U and @FanRagSports, FanRagSports.com. And then follow me on Twitter, @AdamBiggers81, while you're at it. I saw some questions, guys. MIC Brooke, I think I answered your last one. Am I missing anybody? I don't want to leave you guys hanging.
With Wilton's weight loss, does our offense become a little more dynamic or spread-oriented?
Braden, again, this goes back, I get the spread question a lot. I mean, it's just going to make him more mobile.
He lost 20 pounds. Jason Hughes, a lot of talk about family between the players, something definitely. Jason, let me see that one again. Players, that defensive line was clowning each other's interviews, great to see. Oh, yeah, these guys are comfortable. Justin Green, Adam's living the life, man. No complaints, Justin. No complaints. But as far as family atmosphere, that kind of stuff, these guys are comfortable.
I get to availabilities early. I leave late. I see guys in and out of Schembechler Hall. They're smiling. They're having fun. Last night when we were interviewing, you know, when guys, because what they'll do, if you guys have ever been to Towsley, and I'm going to use my arms here, those listening on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes, you can't see me do this, so I apologize. Watch the live stream, you'll get to see these demos. So basically, you guys know the staircase, and there's the bow statue. It'll be on your right. We walk in through the doors in Towsley, and then there's kind of like a little glass partition wall right there, and then, you know, obviously the whole memorabilia collection, and I actually did a special on the memorabilia collection. Bruce Maddai helped me out with that. So, and that was for Bleacher Report like 3 years ago. But it was one of my final pieces I did for Bleacher Report. If you're into sports memorabilia, which I clearly am, it's interesting. You don't have to be a Michigan fan at all. I mean, you look at the stuff and it's history. It's really cool stuff. So anyway, there's a wall that has Michigan, you know, kind of plastered, but like photo montage and everything. And basically what they do, they set them up at the table. Then there's the far part in the back that has like the retired jerseys, like Gerald R. Ford's jersey, some old helmets, that kind of stuff in the back. And that's where they do the M Go Blue, the interviews for M Go Blue. So basically they'll send them out to us, we'll get them, and then they're ushered off to M Go Blue. And if it's not one player, we'll set up in a couple groups. But the whole point of the story was there's a hallway leaving the practice facility, and it's separated by a desk area. So when those guys are going in and out, and they see the media out there, and they shout stuff. I mean, we heard guys there saying "Go Blue" and, you know, laughing and cracking up, and you get that, and that is a sign. I mean, these I think that these guys are very comfortable. I think that it is very much a team atmosphere. I remember speaking with Coach Devin Bush at a youth camp, and I got to sit down and talk with Josh Metellus and Josh Uche and Devin Gill. And, you know, those guys just really, they just like each other. You know, the Florida guys are real, real close to each other. Devin Bush Jr., Josh Uche, Metellus, Gill, those guys are really close to each other. You know, three of them, with the exception, I think it's Devin. Which one didn't go to high school with him? It's off. I have to look it up. Tom tipped my tongue. I can't. Three of the four went to high school together. I think Devin Gill came in late, and as far as that is concerned. But those guys are, you know, and again, this is a term that's always used with sports. But if you don't feel like you're playing for your brother and alongside your brother, you're not going to be a good team. A question about 2018 recruiting. We'll get into the recruiting stuff, guys, probably tomorrow, Friday. Friday and weekend's more of I'm more in the mood to talk recruiting. Excuse me. Just because during the week, we have the availability. If you want to, and I'll say this, if you guys want to know the up-to-the-minute, right now, exactly what's going on with recruiting, Sam Webb, scout.com, Steve Lorenz, 247 Sports, Tom Van Heeren, ESPN, those guys live, eat, and breathe. Well, Sam lives, eats, breathes, all of it. But as far as the recruiting, I'm not the best guy to tell you, you know, is Player X going to come take an official visit right now? I don't know unless I read it. And one of those guys probably wrote it. So, Jeremy Turner. Jeremy, am I saying your right name? Yes, I'm going. Cameron Clark, will Devin Gill play? Yeah, I think Devin will play. I think he's going to be a special team guy. Jalen Taylor wants to know, where do we have the least depth? I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, the two youngest groups, offensive line and defensive backs. Depth in terms of in-game experience. But don't forget, I mean, John Runyon's been around. John Runyon's a smart player. Juwan Bushel-Beattie's been around. Jeremy, yes, you are. Good job. Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate it. I try to pronounce everybody's names to the best of my ability. Obviously, some of these ones are difficult. Jason Hughes, heard Ron Irving Bay by name recently. Your knowledge. Yeah, you're talking about a guy like I've mentioned this before, my neck of the woods. I used to coach baseball at Flint Southwestern. That was before Duran's time, obviously. Miles Bridges was in eighth grade, though, and I tried to get Miles to play. They said, no, he's all basketball, and he's going to go to prep school. And he was a lefty, too. I was like, shit. Or shoot. Sorry, guys. Anyway, would have loved to have Miles Bridges. Duran Irving Bay, Jim Harbaugh said it this past week. It was this past Friday. Duran is working his way. He's right in that mix in the two deep in the D-line. And I do want to say real quick, I want to correct the error. Because I was thinking more of edge, defensive end for Lawrence Marshall. And Matt Pargoff of Mason Blue News, go follow Matt at Mays Blue News on Twitter. He reminded me, and it kind of, I don't know how this eluded me, but Lawrence actually is defensive tackle now, so he's moved inside. Pay attention to Lawrence, too. I mean, I know he's, you know, an old guy. He's been there, but pay attention to him. But as far as Daron Irving Bay, yes. The only Army All-American from Flint, Michigan. How about that? Will Brad Hawkins be a factor ever at safety? MIC Brooke. I don't know. Because when we're talking about these safety, and again, I just wrote on Tyree Kennel, and I highlight safety. I mean, look at all these guys. Jalen Kelly Powell, Jamarick Woods, Kalik Hudson, or Kalik linebacker, Viper, but Viper interchangeable. Josh Metellus. I mean, Brad's got some work to do. I mean, there's going to be a lot of guys there. All right, guys, we're coming up on 40 minutes. I want to try to cut this at 45, so I'll take a couple more questions or where I think three of them popped up. And again, if you're on Twitter and you're watching live, you can't ask on YouTube. Tweet me at AdamBiggers81. Base 7769. So that's why he hadn't been playing. Lawrence is the person I'm speaking on. They wanted him to bulk up. I heard he's huge. I haven't seen him in person. But I remember talking with Matt about this, and Matt said he was huge. Matt Pargoff. Kareem Walker, starting running back by the end of the year? Christopher Phillips wants to know. I don't know. No, I think it's Chris is the number one guy. If there's going to be a guy who hops Chris, I think it'll be Karan, just because he's number two. So that's kind of easy to connect the dots there. Kareem was number four, according to Jim Harbaugh in Chicago. He was also asked about it again during last availability. Kareem's still there at number four. He's on the doorstep, you know, competing during camp. But I expect, he did say that Kareem was the best, probably the best in between, best running back in between the tackles. Let me spit it out. No one talks about Isaac. Cameron Clark. John O'Korn did last night, Cameron. He said that Ty Isaac was in the best shape that he's seen him in at Michigan. And Jim Harbaugh mentioned Ty Isaac as the third running back, which surprised me. I thought it would be Kareem for sure. When, I mean, if you would ask me prior to Big Ten Media Days, and I think I even wrote this, my projected top three running backs were, in order, Chris, Karan, Kareem. To me, Ty Isaac was in danger of becoming an afterthought, honestly. But it sounds like he's been wrecking it in practice. And, I mean, Ty, we've seen the 75-yard touchdowns. We know that Ty Isaac, when he's gone, he's gone. Justin, I'm sorry, or I think that's Cameron. That last one, just something about nobody talks about him. Do you mean other players? Other media outlets? What do you mean by that? Because, I mean, Ty Isaac has gotten a little bit of mention in a little bit. Fans don't talk about him. No, they don't. Not really. I think the hardcore fans who know what type of damage Ty Isaac can do talk about him. And I'll say this. I never saw Ty in high school. Ever. He played in Illinois. But Tommy Stocky of FanRag Sports, before he joined FanRag Sports, like a lot of us guys, started, you know, he was covering high school sports back in the day at a newspaper. That's how I got my start as well. So he told me, I remember last year we were on the phone. We were talking about, I think, flight plans, or, you know, he was calling me for something like that. And we started talking about Ty Isaac. And he told me, he's like, it was unfair. Just like, okay, go back to the comment that Chris Evans made about Jordan, Anthony, and Drew Singleton, how he felt sorry for how those guys were hitting people. We'll reverse that for Ty Isaac. He said it was unfair. Ty Isaac was an absolute animal in high school. Honestly think the O-line has been the main problem with running backs. Well, I mean, they ran the ball well last year, I thought. What do they have, like 41 rushing touchdowns, 25 the year before? Christopher Phillips, Isaac will be shuffled. Christopher, let me see that one again. Something about Ty Isaac will be shuffled. I mean, I think Ty's a specialty back. Isaac will be shuffled in rotation unless he has a great start to the season, in my opinion. I really believe Harbaugh on these close decisions on starters, unlike media that says that that's just not Harbaugh. Jason Hughes. I'll get that. R-Word 616, something about Keith Washington. I've heard a lot about Keith. Good shape to play, start or play nickel. I think he's in the two deep for corner. Something, Andrew, I missed that one. He said something fans are frustrated with Ty. I do believe in some cases that these position battles are as close as Jim Harbaugh says. But with the quarterback, I don't think so. And, I mean, I'd be the first one to, if I'm completely off base, and Jim Harbaugh, if you're watching this, if I'm completely off base and it hasn't always been Wilton's job, let me know. But I can say with pretty good amount of certainty that, and it doesn't take, I don't think it takes really a whole lot to think. I mean, look, he was good last year. Who's the guy that's competing against it? It was never Brandon Peters. It was never Wilton and Brandon. Wilton versus Brandon. That was never it. It's always been Wilton versus John. And I know that we got the Wilton versus Brandon thing because Brandon started in the spring game. John didn't get to play until near the end of the spring game. So that creates it right there because, okay, returning starter, well, who's the other guy? Well, those are the top two quarterbacks, right? And that And I think that was the impression that a lot of people got from that game. The impression I got from that game was it was a good time to let Brandon Peters get a good workout. That's what I thought it was. It was a good time to let him go out there, run some plays, gain some confidence in spring ball, and see how much it's going to benefit him come fall. I think that's what that was. I could be wrong. But like I said, I believe it's always been Wilton and John. And as far as, like, I got the leash question earlier, how close is this battle? I think that Wilton Spate knows that he's the starter. And I think that John O'Korn realizes that too. And if you watch the two interviews, again, they're on my YouTube page. Posted them last night. I meant to live stream them, but internet connection was acting kind of slow. It was taking too long to go live, so I just recorded them and then uploaded them. But I think you could tell with body language. I mean, John stood there with his hands in his pocket. You can't see it because it was only, you know, from chest up. But John had his hands in his pocket. You could tell if you've played sports who was starting. Jalen Taylor. I think so. And that's why I feel pretty confident with a lot of the stuff that I say. Because, I mean, and I'm nowhere, any way trying to compare myself to real athletes at all. But I'm just saying, if you've been a part of a team, if you've played sports, you kind of know. Andrew Pierce, time. NJ.com just filed a public records request against Michigan to get its year-old roster. Something just published by Bleacher Report. NJ.com filed to get Michigan's football roster? I must have missed that. Is that what you're saying? From last year? Because it's available online. Am I missing something here? I don't know. Let me see that question again. All right, guys, we're going up. NJ.com just filed a public records request against Michigan to get its year-old roster updated, just published by Bleacher Report. Oh, are you talking? Yeah, to get NJ.com's New Jersey .com. It's like there's Penn Live, NJ.com, M Live. It's all Advanced Media, all the same company. Well, yeah, because I know ESPN's 2017 Michigan roster is not updated. MGo Blue's 2017 Michigan roster is not updated. I mean, it's still the same roster. I'll look into that. That's funny. Because I'll tell you this, we're sure as hell not going to get two deeps. And it causes, you know, if a lot of people have to do a little extra work trying to find out, because they're never going to come out and tell us. Brian Schaefer, I work in Ohio Sports Radio, was crying about the roster too. I mean, I wasn't aware. I'll have to look into that. I wonder if there's a rule, like you must have your roster made public by the start of camp or something like that. At least every, you know, your full roster. You don't have to have the two deeps. Just have every player on the team posted at a certain, that's interesting. I'll have to, why don't they release the roster? Cameron Clark wants to know. Again, that's a good question. That, now you guys have my interest. I never really paid attention to it that much because I feel like I know the roster pretty well. So, I mean, if it's not updated online, it's like with the ESPN roster. I actually had to correct somebody because they're number 9. I ran a that's Donovan Peoples-Jones, but they said, well, no, number 9 is Grant Perry. It says it on this roster. And I said, no, that's not, that's an incorrect roster. That's interesting, guys. As soon as we're done, I'm going to Google it. And then when we do a show this week, I'll send an email too, to Michigan, to the SID, and see if there's some kind of rule or stipulation or something. If there is, I'm not aware. I believe coach doesn't have to have an updated roster until game day. Our word 616. That's what I always thought too. Our word. I thought that the day of the game, week one, you had to have your roster. Again, I'm not an expert on when rosters need to be released. I just always thought, I mean, it was common practice start of camp. I mean, updated roster, it's online. It just has the names of the guys who are on the team. It's not giving away any trade secrets or anything like that, you know? Like, oh, no, well, they know Donovan Peoples-Jones is on the roster. And that's not a bit, you know, I don't know. Couple more questions, guys. I'm gonna take off. My old man league game got canceled. I was all ready to go. But instead, I think I'm going to try to go to batting cage indoor and get some swings. Trying to stay fit. And I don't like to really, I don't like to exercise. If you guys can't, I'm not a weight room guy. And that's probably why I didn't go too far. But yeah, I'm not a guy, I don't really like to go to the gym, but I really enjoy just going out and hitting. You feel strong after you hit. Old man, you can't be over 30. Cameron Clark, bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. Anybody, while we're on that topic, somebody just real quick, I guess, an age guess. Cameron, I am most certainly over 30. I'll tell you this, I graduated high school in 2000. So do the math. 34, close. 36, I see 26. I love you guys, thank you. I get that a lot. I co-manage a collegiate summer league team, and a lot of those guys, some of the new players are like, Biggers, man, there's no way you're 35. Andrew Pearson Thompson, 35. Andrew, you must have heard me talk about the old manly. I play in 40 and up in the fall, and you can actually have, the teams can have two 35 to 39 year olds. And I think looks-wise, I look younger, but I think when people talk about me, especially when we talk about sports, then they're like, okay, yeah, this guy's older. Because I start, you guys want to start talking some 1990s stuff, I'm all about it. Late 80s, 90s, 95 through 99, my high school years, well, 96, 97 through 99, 2000. Golden age for me, those were great sports. All right, guys, I think that's it for the questions. I appreciate everybody for the low estimates. 9 and 10 years younger. I salute you. Thank you very much. But I will be 36. And if this makes any difference, my birthday is actually December 30th, which LeBron James' birthday. Who else? Sandy Koufax, one of the greatest left-handed pitchers of all time. One of you guys, let's end this on a trivia question. What other date, December 30th? What other significance does the date December 30th hold? Somebody tell me. You guys know this. December 30th, 2014. Somebody tell me. Not just my 33rd birthday. I remember because I spent my birthday at this event. Harbaugh. That's right, Tyrone. Yep, that is the day. He was hired. I saw his contract. He signed his contract December 29th. He was actually hired, but he was officially introduced December 30th. Yep, Cameron, Jim being hired. And then also, I can't complain with Michigan. I mean, I get to spend my birthdays. The past two birthdays I got to spend in Florida. So thanks, Jim. Thanks, Michigan. Keep playing well. Win 10 games. If you don't make the playoff or something bigger, I'm cool with Florida. On my birthday, I appreciate it. Bobby Dysher, keep up the good work, Adam. I appreciate it, Bobby. Bobby, did I say your last name right? Dysher or Dysher? That's a great birthday gift, R-Word 616. Hey, I'm telling you, man, I can't complain. And I was even say this, my boss Keith, it was a Citrus Bowl. I don't mind flying now, but I haven't really always been a big fan of flying. And so on the way back from the Citrus Bowl, I had to pee really bad, right? Getting on the plane. And so I'm rushing to the back, and the flight attendant says, sir, can I see your ticket? And I said, yeah, I said, I'm sorry, I got to use the restroom really bad, because the Orlando airport is huge, and I had to run like 2 miles. It was ridiculous. This thing is massive. So I'm going back there. She looks at my ticket, and she goes, oh, sir, I'm sorry, your bathroom's up there. And she pointed. I'm like up there? She goes, yeah, first class, past the curtain. So that was pretty cool. So not only did I get to spend my birthday at Citrus Bowl, and birthday in Florida. That game was on New Year's Day, but my birthday in Florida, then I got to fly first class back too. So that was a one-time thing. Now it's never been first class since. So Keith Kinney, if you're watching, no, I'm kidding. If you've ever flown first class, and if you're afraid to fly, the further up in the plane, here's a hint, at least it works for me, the further up in the plane, the less, I guess, you feel the turbulence or whatever. You fly Southwest a lot like I do, try to book as early as you can, so that way all the other priority borders, then you can get in earlier, because it's basically first come, first serve. Do you fly with the players? Cameron Clark wants to know. I haven't seen. Do you get to be on the sidelines? Cameron Clark wants to know. At the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, if I don't have a photo credential, but I have a photographer, Andy Shippey. And while I'm at it, go follow Andy. Andy said go blue. I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen his photos. Go follow my video guy, Jared Jansen, at JJSports15. I'm sorry, that one last question, guys. I took my sister to the Citrus Bowl game for her birthday, R-Word 616. I bet she enjoyed it. I'll tell you this, R-Word. You remember Treon Harris, that touchdown, that first touchdown they scored. Chris Wormley told me in the locker room, and I quote, "That pissed us off." He told me it made him angry. But he said, I quote, "That pissed us off." He called it a backyard touchdown. He told me after halftime that he could tell that that Florida's offensive line was worn down, defeated, maybe even a little bit scared. So I'm sure your sister enjoyed that game because that was a beat down. That was a beat down. I enjoyed the Cuban sandwiches that they gave us. It was Buffalo Wild Wing Citrus Bowl, so I was expecting some boneless wings and stuff. It was Cuban sandwiches. I was a little bit disappointed, but at the same time, they're pretty good. So, all right, guys, I don't want to talk about me so much, but I do appreciate the kind age estimates. If you guys ever want to know all the little stuff, we don't always have to talk about Michigan football, but let's keep it centered on sports. But I don't mind telling some story. I feel like I have a few good stories. So one of these days I have a funny story about Andre Risen at Flint Northwestern. I told this one while we were waiting last night for Devin Bush with some of my friends in the media. I'm trying to think. Yeah, that Risen story was pretty funny, actually. I could probably do a whole podcast on that one. That was, wow. All right, anyway, guys, I'm Adam Biggers. I'm getting off track here. I'm going to let you go. I'm Adam Biggers. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow FanRag Sports at FanRag_U, at FanRag Sports and FanRagSports.com. Follow Sports in the Mitten podcast at Mitten Sports MI. Search us on Facebook, Sports in the Mitten, and listen to us on iTunes and the FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel. I'll have another podcast this weekend, guys. Enjoy your Thursday.